On November 16th and 17th, the Knoxville Symphony Orchestra will continue the Moxley Carmichael Masterwork Series, featuring Strauss's Death and Transfiguration, Tchaikovsky's Romeo and Juliet Fantasy Overture, and Beethoven's Violin Concerto. This performance will be guest conducted by the assistant conductor of the New York Philharmonic, Joshua Gerson, and the Beethoven will feature violin soloist Paul Huang, who's joined me in the studio today. Paul, thank you for coming in to chat with me.
Thanks for having me.
So you have such an interesting backstory. I want to jump right in. Your parents brought you to a violin lesson at age 4, which you hated, I understand. And at age 7, they tried again, and you fell in love. What happened between that time?
I don't know. I must have gotten sidetracked. But, you know, I actually have no recollections of, 4-year-old, obviously. But what I do remember is when I was 7, this violin recital that I attended it with my parents was something that was quite extraordinary, that something that always stays in the back of my mind, and how I started to play the violin, because, you know, I really was so fascinated by the instrument and, you know, this little wooden box that can project with, you know, no amplification. And then also just the idea of being on stage was something that's very attracted to me. Mm-hmm. And as a kid, I was awfully shy and realized how powerful music can communicate. And then that's also a way for me to grab attentions from people.
And your first performance, I understand, was a church performance. What do you remember about that very first performance?
What I did remember about the performance was how powerful music can bring people together, and then how much I can grab people's attention, again, uh-huh, without using words, because I wasn't really good at using words when I was a kid. So getting people's attention was something that, you know, I crave, but at the same time, I also don't know how to, because I wasn't really talking much. So
right,
using music, or specifically playing the violin in the public place, was something that, you know, made me realize, wow, this is something very special.
Yeah, and obviously you've bloomed and really grown and created a complete career out of this. And you're performing the Beethoven Violin Concerto here is one of my favorite pieces, actually. And the last time I performed it was with violinist Midori Goto, who I understand that you recently stepped in for with a performance with the Detroit Symphony Orchestra. Well, what sort of pressure did you feel? How was that, stepping in for one of the most famous names in the violin world?
Well, I didn't really have much time to think about because it was quite last minute. And I was then in Mexico City. And then when I got the call from my manager saying Midori had to cancel this concert, unfortunately, and then I happened to be free. So I flew to Detroit immediately for that specific concert. Obviously, Midori is really someone that I grew up listening to.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously. And so it was something quite extraordinary, actually, something that I don't think I will ever forget. But it's something that I didn't quite feel nervous about, or didn't have time to be nervous about. I was just concentrating on what I needed to be ready for in such a short period of time. And working with Detroit Symphony and with Leonard Slatkin was really, really a pleasure. And I've since then have an ongoing relationship with the orchestra. So it's really, really a way for a violinist. It's kind of a wonderful situation to able to make music with such wonderful orchestras and conductor.
So let's talk a little bit about the Beethoven Concerto you're performing here in Knoxville. This is his only concerto, written in 1806. So what's your relationship with this work? Have you performed this work before?
Yes. Well, obviously, Beethoven Violin Concerto is probably one of the most iconic violin concerto in the repertoire, mm-hmm, and will continue to be an iconic one, because for me, I think of the Beethoven Concerto is like, you know, when you go to a museum or experience something extraordinary, you know, that you just kind of want to come back to it again and again and again. And I think that's how I feel with the Beethoven Violin Concerto. It has this very timeless quality that once you finished playing it, you can't wait for the next one again. and then I've had experience with the Beethoven Concerto in this kind of feelings. And I played it quite a bit for the last few seasons. And I first learned it when I was very young, mm-hmm, well, maybe was 16 or 17. But I made a point of not playing in public until the last 2 years. And,
okay.
And obviously, I still don't feel like I'm quite ready for the piece. But, you know, as my agent says, well, you got to start somewhere. So I feel like I know a little bit better about the piece and then myself of how to tackle such a monumental piece. And I feel like I somehow have a voice for this piece that I wanted to bring. So I decided to start playing it the last two seasons. And it's a piece that really has this embracing the world, you know, larger than life quality that I really think only Beethoven was able to achieve that kind of qualities. And I have not encountered any other composers that make me feel quite the same way as the violin concerto and as many of Beethoven's music, in fact. And if you think of his, you know, his piano concertos, the choral symphony, the Beethoven's Ninth, and all this, you know, as we all know, Beethoven was someone who really was, much of his life was in miseries, but he was someone that was able to somehow, while in misery, was still able to look up, to see lights. And then I think that's what his music really portrays, and it definitely shows in the Beethoven Violin Concerto.
Is this one of your favorite pieces or one of your favorite composers, Beethoven?
Beethoven definitely is high on my list of one of my very favorite composers, and I don't know if I have a favorite composers, but I would say every composer that I get to play with is a favorite at the moment, and certainly the Beethoven Violin Concerto is, for me, that's something that I always look forward to coming back to.
Now, I also read that you find music education very important. Do you think music is something all students should be exposed to, and if so, why?
Yeah, well, I think music, or playing music, I think, is probably the most important things for human education, and especially for young kids, because, you know, playing music requires discipline, perseverance, collaborations, and listening. And all of these qualities are so important in the societies. And I cannot think of any better way of immersing young children in playing music or experiencing music in a way. And I really don't think music education is something that's extracurricular. And sadly, that we see in our country that, you know, a lot of time music is the first thing that government cuts. So if you think very carefully of how powerful music can be, and you will realize how that impacts a human being's life, and how that really shaped a person's life as a young adult. So for me, that's always very important for me to be able to bring music to school, especially nowadays, many schools don't have a music program.
Right.
And then for me, just being able to play music for them, and it's not even to ask them to like it or not, but just to experience it. And then they can decide for themselves whether they like it or not. But chances are they will always like it because it's the matter of exposing it or not. And so and it doesn't have to be classical music. I only believe in good music and bad music.
Okay.
So as long as it's good music, I think there's hope.
And do you have the opportunity to visit schools much when you're traveling around playing with different orchestras?
Yeah, I do actually try to make a point of visiting schools, whether it may be giving master classes or just going to public school to play for kids. It's something that's very easy for me to give time to.
Now, after you leave Knoxville, it looks like you have a very busy calendar. I saw that you're touring East Asia, it looks like.
Yeah, actually, after I finish with the Knoxville Symphony, which I'm actually quite looking forward to, I will be going to Washington, D.C., actually.
Okay.
I'm playing at Kennedy Center first, and then to New York at Lincoln Center, and then Thanksgiving week, and then I'm off to Asia, to Korea, Beijing, and then to Taiwan.
Now, before you go, I want you to talk a little bit about your violin. I understand it's from 1742. That's older than the concerto you're going to be playing.
Yes, indeed. older than probably all of us here at Together Age. Yes, it's a very important violin, actually, in the histories of violin making. This violin was made in 1742 by one of the most celebrated violin maker, Giuseppe Guarneri del Jesus, in Cremona, Italy. And this violin is very important for the fact that it was played by one of the most iconic violinist and composer, Henry Wieniawski.
Oh, wow, yeah.
For much of his career. And so this violin bears the name of the ex-Wieniawski Guarneri del Jesus of 1742. It's a violin that, like a piece of art, you know, when you open every day, for me, I can help to think of, wow, this sound of the violin was when Wieniawski had the sound in mind to compose, you know, the two great violin concertos and many, many great violin virtuoso pieces with the sound of this violin in mind. And so it definitely inspires me every day.
Wow, that's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming in, and we all look forward to your performance.
Thank you.
The Knoxville Symphony Orchestra will present the Beethoven Violin Concerto with soloist Paul Huang, along with the music of Strauss and Tchaikovsky, on November 16th and 17th at the Tennessee Theater with guest conductor Joshua Gerson. More information on these performances can be found at knoxvillesymphony.com.